What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Wednesday night. It's August 27th, 2025. We are so close from noon on August 30th. Boilers at home against the Ball State Cardinals that kick off the Barry Odom era in the 2025 season. I'm Tanner Lee. Along with me is Aaron Lynch, Evan Webb. Fellas, how we doing?
It's game week.
It's game week.
Finally. Feels like it took forever to get here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because we went 1-11 last year and our one win was week one. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be 364 days since Purdue's last victory on Saturday.
Oh my gosh. I did see the other day is longest losing streak in program history, 11 games.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yep. Because the 1-11, the 1-11 2013 season, the win was came at week two against Indiana State. So, yeah. But it's game week. You can check out. We were on a Ball State YouTube show last night, Ball State of the Union. I think it's dropping here in like 10 minutes.
So I think they start recording at 8:30. I think they're doing their live portion at 8:30. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So go check those guys out.
Yeah. They were good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Learned a lot more about Ball State than I knew going in, which was basically nothing.
Yeah. Outside their coach being a Purdue grad, that's about it.
Yes, Purdue grad, one of the younger coaches in Division I. I think he was, year 2000 Purdue grad, so that would put him out 49-ish, maybe? 49-ish. First-year head coach coming over there from Butler, and a lot of new staff, a lot of new players. They have 50-some new players as well. I mean, it's not 82 or 3 like Purdue has, but still a lot. So a lot of question marks on both sides going into Saturday. But I brought some trivia with me tonight to kick off the show. Actually, two trivia questions for you guys. All right. The first one is outside the original Big Ten, and I'm even counting Chicago in this, University of Chicago, and Notre Dame. So outside the Big Ten and Notre Dame, there's only one opponent Purdue has played more times than Ball State. Who is that opponent?
Outside the Big Ten, right? I kind of blacked out when you said that.
Yep. So it's not a Big Ten team or Notre Dame.
Can I ask this? Is it FCS or FBS?
It's an FBS team.
Okay.
Yep.
I have a guess.
Let her rip.
Central Michigan.
They've played Central Michigan 6 times. Not quite.
That was
Ball State, they've played 8. This will be the 9th.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to going off that 1 year we played them 3 times within a calendar year. So that's what I was like, there's at least 3 right there. There's at least 3 there.
Mm-hmm. That's I actually was thinking Central Michigan.
You're not too far off.
Eastern Michigan?
No.
Toledo?
No. You guys are in the right conference.
Not been Bowling Green.
No, Purdue's never beaten Bowling Green. Over three against Bowling Green. That's pathetic.
Is it Northern Illinois?
It's not Northern Illinois.
Okay, so I didn't think it was.
You guys are knocking them down.
We're knocking them down.
Ohio?
It's not Ohio. They played Ohio 6 times, not Western Michigan.
No, it's not. Kent State? They're just naming MAC schools now.
Not Kent State.
Miami, Ohio?
It is Miami, Ohio.
It's Miami of Ohio?
9 times, but haven't played them since 2006. Which was the first overtime game in Ross-Age Stadium history. Was that game?
I don't even.
First played them in 1962, last in 2006, 5-3.
I was at that record game too.
Against the Red Hawks. Second question, and I hope my research is right here. I believe it is, but I know at least since 2000 this is correct. So I believe it's all time. who has the most passing yards in a season opener in Purdue history?
Season opener.
I believe it's all time. I could be wrong. I went back to 2000 and then I stopped because I didn't think anybody before 2000 would have.
I've got a guess.
I got one too.
You go first this time, Lynch.
Painter.
It's not Curtis Painter. Good guess,
that
though.
My guess. That was my guess. Okay, let's recalibrate.
I think I know who it is now.
Was it Orton?
It's not Kyle Orton. No. Mm-hmm. He had a good game against Syracuse, 51-0, but they pulled him early because 51-0.
Sunday.
Is it Sindelar? Yep.
Elijah Sindelar in a loss at Nevada threw for 423 yards.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
34 for 52 for 4 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Wow.
Was the Painter game against Ball State, was that week 2 or week 3?
It was not a season opener.
Okay.
Yeah. And in speaking of that, and I'm glad because I was going to go to this next, some history against Ball State. Like I mentioned earlier, this is the 9th time Purdue's played Ball State. First one since 2010. Purdue's 8-0 against Ball State. Won 24-13 in 2010, which I didn't realize that was only a 6-point game going into the fourth quarter. The Purdue outscored them 10-0. 2006, the game you were talking about, Curtis Painter. Purdue won 38-28. Curtis threw for 416 yards, 30 for 39, 3 touchdowns, but 2 picks. So two of those 9 missed targets were picks. Going back to the 24-13, I thought this was interesting. Robert Marv was 12 for 20 for only 111 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Rob Henry was 3 for 6 for 89 yards and a touchdown. Wow. Rob Henry was the leading rusher with 10 carries for 65 yards. And Tavian Edison was the second leading rusher with 8 carries for 55 yards. Wide receiver.
It was Gary Nord bubble screen.
Was this like Gary Nord?
Bubble screen behind the line. It was behind the line passes that counted as runs.
The leading running back, 4 carries for 17 yards, Jared Crank, the fullback.
Wow. That's a name I have not heard of.
Dan Dierking had 7 carries for 16 yards.
That's a name from the past. Yeah, that's a name.
Well, here's one you probably haven't thought of. Leading wide receiver that day with 5 catches for 117 yards and 2 TDs, Cortez Smith.
Wow.
And then it drops down to Kyle Adams with 6 receptions for 37 yards. OJ Ross had 1 for 36 for a touchdown. Siller had 3 catches for 10 yards. He also had 3 rushes for 11 yards. Purdue had 2 interceptions that day, 1 for Ricardo Allen, who would have been a freshman, 1 from Jason Warner.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yep.
He were 24, didn't he?
Yep.
At least at the end of his career. He was a rare sixth-year guy because of all the injuries he had. The 38-28 game in 2006, leading rusher with Jason Taylor at 61 yards on 5 carries. Corey Sheets at 57 yards and 14 carries and a touchdown. Leading receivers, Dustin Keller at 148 yards on 4 receptions and a touchdown. Selwyn Lineman, 8 receptions for 90 yards. Corey Sheets had 5 for 65 and 2 touchdowns. Greg Orton, 6 for 61 yards. And Dorian Bryant, 7 for 52. So, yeah, that was a pretty loaded team of targets for Curtis Painter there. And then the time before that was 2004, 59-7. Kyle Orton, maybe. This might be the statistically the best game Purdue quarterbacks ever had. 23 for 26 for 329 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Good Lord.
That's as close to perfect as you can get, pretty much. And while Hudson Card against Indiana State last year.
Yeah.
Gerard Void, leading rusher that day, 11 carries, 69 in a touchdown. Taylor Stubblefield, leading receiver, 5 catches, 88 yards, 3 TDs. So. Don't have the box scores before the other times, but Purdue has also played and beat the Ball State Cardinals 1997, 28-14, 95, 35-13, 94, 49-21, 1986, 20-3, and 1985, 37-18. So there's your history against the Ball State Cardinals. So, it's surprising to me that only played them 8 times, to be honest.
Yeah. But, I forgot about that. Like, we were talking last night. in the podcast. I forgot it's been that long too. It just felt like we were always playing them. Like, it felt like every,
I know.
It wasn't, but it always felt like every other year or something, but it's really been that long.
I think it's shocking that it's been Miami, but we haven't played Miami since 2006.
Yeah.
That's shocking to me.
Cameron Day on YouTube, Curtis Painter versus IU Tiller's last game. Yeah, that was what, 62-10, I think, or 62-13?
62-10. Something like that. Yeah, snowing. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, whooping. So, all right. It looks like our stream on Facebook is having trouble, so apologize to everybody trying to watch it on Facebook. We are live on YouTube, but I don't know what's going on Facebook here. I think that's on Facebook's end. So, yeah. How are we feeling going into Saturday now that we're getting close? Feeling about the same as you did last week when we recorded? Feeling a little differently?
Excited, nervous, just more anxious to see like what is going to happen. I don't know. I just don't know. Like, I just don't know what to expect. Like, for some reason, like defense, I feel like we're going to be pretty sound. I think even all year, I think that should be hopefully a strength. I'm not saying we're going to shut people out, but I hope not. The defense doesn't look as inept at this as they did last year, where we're just letting people run all over us.
Or throw them all over us.
Run was a broad term there. But I am curious to see how the offense goes. Is this like I don't expect this to be a team that throws it a bunch. I feel like we're probably going to really try and control the clock and really shorten the game, which is something we haven't seen in a long time. So it'll be interesting. But hey, if it's a win, I don't really care.
Yep. I just have the feeling, without really knowing what to expect, but I just have the feeling this is going to be a run-first team. It's going to be different than any Purdue team we've ever really seen. I mean, I don't even know how to characterize what Darryl Hazel's teams were. 2013, 2016. I'm not even trying to throw more shade at the guy. I really don't know what their offense identity was. I mean, Ryan Walters, it wasn't good, but they were trying to be a throw first team, pass first team, and just didn't execute very well. And then, of course, Brohm and Tiller were pass first teams. So, but I just, from everything I'm reading and hearing, I mean, if you want to play physical football and establish the game in the trenches, that to me is run first. So run to set up the pass. And even in the passing game, I mean, I hope we hit more explosive plays than we did last year, which was basically zero. But I still don't think this is an offense that's going to take the top off many defenses. I still think they're going to have to get quick, easy, moderate throws for Ryan Brown or whoever might be playing quarterback eventually as the season goes on.
I think it's going to be – well, going back to how I feel a little bit anxious because we've never seen roster turnover like this.
Right.
We don't know continuity, chemistry, what this looks like. There's not been really much reports out of practice besides little snippets. So, and all we know is what Odom ran at Missouri and what he ran at UNLV, but we don't have any of either of those options. And we're kind of looking at this at a different lens of like, how do you rebuild a program? So this is a little bit different. I think you're 100% right. He's speaking with conviction when in the trenches. Sure, he's talking about eye discipline, which I think that's going to be the biggest thing. And we're going to give up plays, I know, on defense, but I think if they keep everything in front of them and not let anything behind them, we're going to stay in games. I think the biggest thing for the offense is if we can establish a line of scrimmage and set up play action and come out of play action and maybe you get at a safety to bite down, come towards the box, and then you can get a Brown or Singleton can throw it over the top.
Yeah. Now I'm really curious to see how they use Brown, like in terms of how much he's able to use his legs outside of a traditional scramble. Like, do they, are they going to be, or are they going to be like, because I also guys worry about obviously health is a big thing too. Like, you don't want a guy going out there and doing 15 design runs all the time. But yeah, I think it's going to be something we just haven't seen ever probably at Purdue.
And I know Odom's made a comment about two quarterbacks and everybody's trying to figure out, does that mean We're going to see two quarterbacks at times during games. I mean, could there be a special package for Malachi Singleton? Or is it more like you have to have two quarterbacks ready in case one goes down type of thing? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Look at the history of Purdue. I mean, we've talked about on the pod already this season. You got to go back to 2016 to find a guy who started first game, cleared to the last game. That was David Blau. Before then, you had to go back to Joey Elliott. In 2009, it's a position. It's funny because the school's identity around the football program is cradle quarterbacks. But in the last 20 years, it's a position that's just been snake bitten at Purdue due to injuries or other kind of drama or just not consistent play, whatever it might be. Yeah. So I guess I'm posing this to you guys, this question. Does Ryan Brown start all 12 games this year?
No.
Do you say that because he gets hurt or because he isn't playing well?
I think he's going to get hurt. And because there's going to be a game that he's going to try to have to get out of the pocket and he's going to have to create on his own. And that's probably what's going to happen, unfortunately. I mean, injuries are part of football, as we know, any sport. Yeah. But what he said in regards to the offensive line, in regards to, hey, we can have four centers off this, I think that's what he's applying to, you know, with Brown and Singleton here, is like, hey, next man up mentality. We're going to plug play people who need to be able to play positions, coming in and when their number's called, coming and delivered for this team to, you know, I would say keep momentum moving forward, whatever that momentum looks like. Is it a win? No. Is it, you know, not certain number of penalties, certain number of first downs, however this coaching staff is establishing. I mean, they're not giving a lot to the media, which, I mean, they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. This is internal. I think what we as fans want, though, is not last year quitting at halftime, making business decisions. I mean, this isn't the NFL. So we want these players to play, even though I know it's kind of one and done kind of deal. They'll hop back in the portal, but we're hoping that through this, I think roster building, but then building momentum, we move forward throughout the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot you said, and going back to the two quarterback thing, like I'm not opposed to playing two quarterbacks if it's like a package scenario. Mm-hmm. Or having something for skill set, but I don't like how Danny Hope did it, and even Joe Tiller at times with Kyle Orton and Brandon Kearse a little bit early in Orton's career. You know, if you're constantly changing quarterbacks, whether it's quarter to quarter or a couple drives here and there, you're not allowing a quarterback to get in rhythm. So, but I'm with you, Aaron. I don't think Ryan Brown starts all 12 games. And I don't. I mean, I'm not hoping injury on the guy whatsoever, but I don't know. I just have just history tells me it's not going
to
happen.
So. I mean, I'll pose this question to both of you. I mean, think about just any positions that we've had, even especially transfers we bring in. If they haven't been with the program for a long time, usually they're hurt in year one.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about freshmen. I think about Marv comes to my mind. I mean, when he was a transfer,
CJ Smith last year.
Yep. Nylon Green.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more other people I'm thinking about, but for some reason they're not coming to my head. But I feel like it. You have to have people in programs, and until him and his staff get the folks in the programs, they're going through nutrition, they're going through the strength and conditioning. I think we're probably going to have war of attrition. We'll be fighting a lot this year.
Yeah, and you know I've heard the narrative out there about Ryan Brown that a lot of people are like, he just feels more like a Big Ten backup quarterback than he does a starter. And I don't know. I haven't seen enough of the kid to even make a judgment yet. I mean, we saw two games last year, played awesome against Illinois, especially the second half. But I almost think that's more because the head coach last year literally invented the opposition's defensive playbook. Yeah. And then Oregon, which it's Oregon. So I think he's somewhere in the middle of those. He's obviously a leader.
The guys love him, which is awesome.
Yeah, the guys love him. He's voted one of the eight captains. They say he runs like a deer when he gets in the open field, which we kind of knew that. So
he's also a redshirt sophomore.
Right. He's old. I think age wise, he's like 23.
Yeah.
Because he went to prep school. And then, but yeah, he still has 3 years of eligibility remaining, including this year. So, which it's funny, like more so football than basketball, probably. It's like, do classes even matter anymore? We never even talk about like this guy's a freshman because they could just leave after the year anyway. So it doesn't even really matter. But yet it does.
That's why I was hoping this decision that came down from the Supreme Court would make them actually agents of the school. Because I mean, then you technically don't have to go to class, and then there's no GPA requirement.
Then it's not even college sports. I mean, it's semi-professional.
Yeah,
and that's just.
But aren't we already there?
Oh yeah,
in a way.
Different sport. But you go to basketball. I remember like when they were in the Final Four. I saw there was like an interview of like the different teams. Like you go into class the next day. I think it was like Walter Clayton Jr. was like, all my classes are online. I haven't stepped foot on campus, essentially, is what he was saying. Yeah. It's like, these guys aren't even like, it's just, yeah, it's crazy just how far gone it is from when we were in school. And it didn't feel like that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
Look at what you said about LSU paying $18 million for this roster. I mean, it's not even a fair fight anymore.
No, it's not. It's not. And
I don't know if you guys watched the SEC documentary on Netflix.
I did not.
It was pretty good. As much as, I mean, it's as a SEC hater, it was fun just to laugh at them and how pompous they are. But what's crazy is Brian Kelly's agent is his quarterback's agent, and his quarterback was trying to figure out whether or not to go in the draft. And there's a scene in there where Kelly's talking to his agent. And the agent's like, I got to do what's best for my client. And he hangs up and Kelly's like, this is so weird.
Because like, I'm like, a client too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is wild.
Yeah. That's, man.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't Nussmeier's dad the offense coordinator for the Saints, the quarterback's coach for the Saints?
I have no idea.
He used to be a quarterback in the NFL. So that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
If they all had the same agent, that's just strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cameron Day on YouTube, he left this comment about 8 months ago, but just now getting to it. I'm happy Odom has control of the program as a serious coach versus buddy coach with Walters. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's one thing on paper. I like that the staff is made up of a lot of veterans, and they've been through this before at UNLV twice with heavy roster turnover. I know the situation was different. I mean, we'll never see roster turnover like this again at Purdue, I don't think. 80-some new guys. I mean, going into next year, yeah, you're always going to have some turnover, but hopefully they can keep it at, you know, even at the 15 to 20 range.
Yeah.
Let's bottle that take for next week. I hope it's only 15 to 20, too. I think what I love is that he's failed. And he really didn't fail. But
no, he did fine in Missouri. They just wanted – they did one of those – they thought, you know –
Gary Pinkle status again, like making SEC championship, and they couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And that being his first job was hard. And then he went to Arkansas with Pittman, and that didn't work out. So then took a couple years off, self-reflected, and went out and – did one, you know, Mountain West Coach of the Year last year.
Well, his defenses were pretty good at Arkansas. Arkansas just couldn't put up points.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a tough
I mean, he's still relatively young for a head coach. Yeah. But, you know, he probably got the Missouri job before he was ready.
Yeah. But now he knows who he is. And that's what's going to happen with Walters. I think Walters is going to be a great coach one day.
I do too.
I think he'll be a solid head coach again someday. And I know a lot of people are probably like, you guys are crazy. But I think I could see him having a good year at Washington. Maybe he doesn't even jump after this year. You know, waits, has a couple of good years. Then he gets a mid-level job and works his way up. Because still, if you're a big-time program or even a Purdue level program. I don't know. Like, I don't know who we could compare Purdue to in the Power Four. And you take a swing on Ryan Walters, your fans are going to revolt right away just because of his 2 years as a head coach. So he might need to go to mid level, do well, and then work his way back up.
Or Pac-12 when it comes back.
I'd call that mid level. Kind of, sort of. They should just grab Stanford and Cal out of the ACC because
yeah,
but they won't. But everybody wants to see Stanford and Cal travel across the country to play Miami.
Right. You know,
that's what we're watching on Saturdays. But go back to Ball State. Sounds like they got a dual threat quarterback from what we learned last night on the Ball State of the Union show, which in the past, that's not good news for Purdue and Purdue defenses, but we have no idea. I mean, that's like every year you go into week one, there's questions, but like this year's just such an outlier.
I think it goes back to eye discipline and what Scher's been talking about. I think if we don't beat ourselves and we keep everything in front of us, the dual threat quarterback's really not going to matter. I mean, it'll be questionable if Magwood can then get past one of the DBs and he's in the end zone because he's so fast.
I guess a good thing, too, is, I mean, they can replicate it with a lot of the quarterbacks that we do have. Like, so it's not like we've got, like, guys who are just straight-up pocket passers and can't really replicate a guy who can run. So, yeah, I don't know if that'll pay dividends.
And one thing I like that Odom said in the press conference on Monday was that they did more tackling this year than he's ever done in a camp.
Mm-hmm.
I like hearing that. I mean, of course, part of me is like, oh, God. Like, that's always a cause of concern for injuries. But, yeah, I mean, we see so many times in week one, even in the NFL, even though they play preseason games, you come out and you're sloppy tackling.
Yeah.
Which I can't believe college would have one exhibition game for football. Yeah. Basketball does it.
Or at least like a joint practice type thing, like something where you can, like, even if it's like a closed scrimmage with a, like, if you do like you do the basketball, the secret scrimmages like they used to have, like, you can have weird rules and all that, but at least just like get some live plays in, like, treat it like a game, have people call them from the, obviously up in the booth, all that stuff. Like, something.
I mean, basketball can do it and the money goes to charity. Why can't football or even just a closed scrimmage? Like you said, something. I'm really surprised we're in 2025. And we haven't, I know Colorado was trying to do something in the spring.
Yeah.
Was that with Syracuse?
Syracuse, yeah. Yep.
And it got denied, which I can understand that. Spring, that's kind of silly. I know one person last year, I don't know what college football analyst, was saying that bowl games, besides the playoffs, should be played week one the following year. Even though your personnel would be a little different, it would be interesting. Yeah. Like, start off the year at a neutral site, week one, against an opponent you don't normally play.
Yeah.
So when you get all offense, you get all offense to scout.
I know. I don't even like week zero. I keep college football week one on Labor Day. I'm glad there's not many neutral sites for week one this year.
Yeah, there's not. Now, Mitchell, there's a lot of good games that are being played on campus. You got Texas, Ohio State. You have LSU, Clemson. Alabama, Florida State.
Notre Dame, Miami. Well,
that's it. That's ACC, but it's, still didn't feel like it.
You guys want to pick some games?
Let's do it. All right. What do you want me to do with blind rankings?
Do we want to talk anything more about this weekend's game? Because I know we don't have a depth chart or anything else.
I mean, I thought we'd leave our bold, spicy, and game score picks for later, but I don't have much else, I guess, just because, like you said, Lynch, no depth chart going in with so many new faces. We do know more sets out. Help me, tight end, help me.
George Burton.
Yeah, he's most likely out, which that's a bummer, but that's okay. Don't rush him back. Yeah. He's going to be such an important piece of the offense.
Before we pick games, I figure we can do blind rankings because it kind of ties in. So
before you do blind rankings, I did read the exponent that Ethan Trent is going to start.
Well, good for him. That'll be a cool story.
Pretty sweet story, yeah. All right, blind rankings this week. So I kind of took a little bit of inspiration from Lynch last week.
This week,
a little bit. It's on theme still. So the topic is Purdue season openers.
All right.
And the criteria, similar to what we did last week, is how you felt after week one or first game of the season in terms of how the rest of the season would go based off the results. You cannot think of how the season actually ended up, but like after game one, how did you feel?
Fair.
One being the like this is we're gonna be good, like this is gonna be awesome. Five being we're not
death winning on one. Oh, yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, coming in hot. First one, 2024. Ryan Walter or Purdue and Ryan Walters beat Indiana State 49-0. Year two of Ryan Walters. Obviously, we know Purdue ended up finishing 1-11. Walters got fired, but how are you feeling after that 49-0 butt kicking of Indiana State on a hot August 31st?
I mean, I knew it was Indiana State, but I thought the offense moved the ball so well. They looked fluid. Defense was getting to the quarterback, creating turnovers. I'm like, I never would have dreamed that team was going to go 1-11. So I'm going to put this at 3. I mean, I knew the opponent's level wasn't very good. Indiana State, I think, won one game the previous year. But I was like, man, Purdue looked pretty good. So, yeah, I'll put it at 3.
You guys are going to – don't laugh at me. I'm going to put this at 2.
I'm right there with you, Lynch. I might have put this at 1, to be honest with you. I was riding high.
I was riding high. I was like, man, we look great.
Again, you're coming off how they ended the year before, which was like they ended pretty
good
like.
Point. Good point.
Like, we had that influx of talent, you know, 5-star cornerback that was like going to see the field like year two of Hudson Card.
We good lost point. Gordon, though.
We did lose Gordon. We did lose Gordon, but it was like, hey, we got CJ Smith speed out there. If we can get healthy, Edrin was back off injury. It was like, man, this could be like we got a week off to prepare for Notre Dame. Like, get ready, Irish. I didn't know what happened.
The telecast, I'm going to be honest, it was juiced. Listening to it, like watching it and everything, and you're just like, man, this season's going to be good. I actually thought we were going to probably be competing for 6-6. So, yep. Yeah, it's 2.
I'm scared that I put this at 3 now because I'm like, the next 4 could be losses and I could just be in trouble. But, all right.
All right, next one. 2017. Purdue falls to number 16, Louisville. 35-28 at Lucas Oil Stadium in year one of Jeff Brohm era. Purdue would finish 7-6 after beating Arizona in the bowl game. I can't Foster Farm. That's what it was. I couldn't think of it at the time, but
I got to be honest. I think this is my one. I mean, I know, yeah, because I was coming off. I'm like, maybe it was just because we had won 9 games previous 4 years, and then we take a Heisman Trophy winner and a ranked team in a neutral site down to the wire. I mean, even though I know we had forced a couple turnovers in the red zone, had some breaks our way. But, you know, Sindelar played all right. Blau played all right. We played both of them. Jackson Anthrop had a breakout game. We had a couple guys step up. I'm like, this could be a lot of fun. Like, I just think, like, it didn't feel like a loss to me. Like, yeah. I came out of it just pumped up. And then
Were you there?
No, I was not there.
I was there. I remember, yeah, we were. Dad and, like, Purdue fans were like, it was like, okay, this, I mean, yeah, we lost, but I was like, this feels different. Like what we had just experienced. Cause like, I remember like going to like when my dad and I talked about it going, it was like, well, it's good to see Lamar Jackson. Like that was the reason why we were going. It's like, we're going to see a 49-0 ass whooping.
And like, I remember that pumped me up even more for the week 2 game, the Friday night game against Ohio, first game under the permanent Rossade lights. And then that was awesome. I remember walking out that night. I'm like, Purdue football's fun again. Like this is awesome. But I didn't know at the time after the game of Luke Soil that was going to be the result Friday night, but it got me more excited for that game against Ohio. And I wasn't scared to death of the Bobcats. It was pathetic because under Hazel, I was scared of Northern Illinois. I was scared of Bowling Green. I was scared of
Marshall.
Yeah. We did beat Western Michigan, but yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go 3 and I'm going to, it felt fun again. I agree with Tanner on that, but it was like fun bad, if that makes sense. It was like
it wasn't like just abysmal despair, which is like such a low bar.
Correct, but you knew because I mean the transfer portal wasn't this what we are today. That wasn't a thing, so you knew what roster you had coming back, and you're like, oh Lord, this is gonna be bad. But they showed like trick plays, gadget plays in that game. We ran a flea flicker at midfield, didn't we, with the Sindelar?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember that, and I was like, wow, we're trying to be creative to get guys in positions and kind of see the the gap in regards to discipline, in regards to if the defense wasn't, and especially special teams. So yeah, three definitely fun bad. But
and the last thing I want to say, I remember seeing like a few defensive players like Jalen Robinson, Danny Awichiku, like performing unlike we had seen them in one game under the previous regime, and that gave me a lot of hope coming out of that game too. So,
all right, so we got Tanner, you're 1 and 3, and then you're 2 and 3.
Yep.
Lynch. All right, number three, Tanner, so might be a little close to your heart. 2012. Purdue routes Eastern Kentucky 48-6. And Purdue end up going 6-7 after losing Oklahoma State in the Hard Dallas Bowl post Danny Hope getting fired.
Can I go on this one? Because you were on the field that game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't throw this at 1. The reason being was Ohio State couldn't play in the Big Ten Championship.
Right.
Because there's the leaders and stuff. Penn State couldn't play in it.
Leaders and freaking legends. What a dumb idea. My God.
Yep.
Oh,
I have every one of that those signatures because you remember we went to the signing and you were like, "Oh, this could be worth money someday." And that picture's sitting right
here. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay, I saw the guys practice every day. I was.
Well, I have that old picture still signed over here. So, I went with your roommate because you had given us your tickets for the 50-yard line that game,
right?
And we just saw that route and I was like, holy crap, we might have a shot at going the Big Ten title.
Yeah, I'll put this at 2. I'll put this at 2. I knew the opponent, but like we had just went through fall camp. I'd seen these guys work hard. Like Lynch said, no Ohio State and Penn State. Was a lot of people were like, this is Purdue or Wisconsin. Not to jump ahead, but I remember a few weeks later going into that Michigan game, that week of Kerbstreak brought up Purdue and had Purdue winning the Big Ten. And going to the Rose Bowl, and I was just like shaking in my truck that day, like pump this in my veins, and then the Michigan game went how it went. Yeah. But
and Michigan also had like Tate Forsay, was his last quarterback?
Shoelace ball? Robinson, Denard Robinson was their quarterback.
But didn't they have Tate Forsay?
He might have been their backup, but Shoelace ran all over us that day.
Oh yeah, I do remember that, but I thought Tate Forsay was still there.
He might have been. But Denard started for him. But yeah, I mean, I knew the opponent, knew we should work him. But didn't think we were going to shut him out, though. And it was nice to see the offense click when going into the game, everybody thought Caleb Turbush was going to be the starter. And then he was ruled ineligible for one game, which is still really a weird situation looking back on it. And I think I know what happened, but I'm not gonna go on record because I don't want to say something that's not factual. But and then Robert Marv came out and had his arguably, from a statistical standpoint, his best game as a Boilermaker. So, yeah, I'll put that at 2.
I should have said the beginning, so I apologize. But all these games that I picked are, for us, late high school on. So nothing like from nothing. That's one, fair. I don't remember a lot of that stuff. So I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
That's fair.
I was going to do just us, like at least you guys starting like college years, because you guys are you're older than me for people who don't know. But I was like, I'm not going to do that. At least like cause there were some good ones beforehand. All right. So, Tanner, you got 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
And you both got 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, and 3 so far. I figured that's how I was going to go. All right. I think I know where this one's going to go. We talked about already. 2019. Purdue loses on the road at Nevada 34-31 to a walk-on kicker. Let's point that out. Who got a scholarship after that game?
56-yarder.
After being up 24-7 at halftime.
We were rolling.
Unless Wikipedia was wrong, Purdue was -5 in the turnover margin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Nevada did not have a single turnover. We had 5. Purdue went on to be 4-8 after a 2 overtime loss against IU in the bucket game, due to an absolute injury ridden.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That Brian Newbert hit nail on the head this week on the Golden Black podcast with Derek Schultz. This game set precedence for the rest of the season. I mean, Purdue dominated that game in the first half, only had 7 points in the second half. Looking back at the roster, you freaking, I know he's young, but he got a touchdown that game. David Bell and Rondell Moore. Yep. On the field at the same time. No excuse to lose that game. And you had a quarterback with a cannon of an arm.
Yeah, Karloftis, freshman Karloftis.
Yeah, Karloftis. And really, I'm still frustrated to this day. I forget his first name, but Major was his last name, the cornerback. He had an interception in the end zone.
Kenneth Major.
That sounds right.
Yes. That would have solidified the game. Purdue had a touchdown lead. He had a foot down possession, and they overruled it.
And Nevada ended up
scoring to tie the game, but we know all that stuff. But
yeah,
with all that said, I'm still putting it at four, not my five, because I knew we were coming back home against Vanderbilt. And at that time, we still had Marcus Bailey.
Yep.
He tore his ACL the next week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we still had a lot of our pieces. I thought we'd be okay. The year before, we started off 0-3 and then got hot, but wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
I'm saying four because I really think Marshall's here and coming up is the next one.
I think it's freaking Cincinnati.
Regardless, either one.
You're both wrong.
Oh, man.
All right. So you guys both have your – this is your five. This is
five for both of us, yeah.
2009. Purdue dominates on the road at Toledo.
52-30. 2009 was at home.
What was the one at Toledo?
07.
07. Okay, sorry. Yep. I read it wrong. Dominated against Toledo, 52-31. Purdue go on to lose five straight.
Oh, and close ones, every freaking single one.
Finished with a 5-7 record, despite having wins against number 7 Ohio State and at Michigan. 5-7. We talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, and then last night too, a little bit. But
yeah, I'd flip my 4 and 5, and I'd feel good with it. I still thought, you know, Danny Hope's first game. I still didn't know what to expect. Thought we were going to get killed at Oregon, to be honest. And the fact that Purdue had a real good shot to win that game said a lot. I'd flip my 4 and 5. Other than that, I'm happy. I'm happy with my list.
Yep.
Then I had an honorable mention. This actually was my last one, and then I flipped it because I think I had like it was like three losses, two wins. Like I'll flip it around. But 2010 is another one. We lose at Notre Dame. 23-12, and we go on to finish 4-8 after an overtime loss against IU.
I remember Robert Mars flipping to the end zone that game. That was
got a penalty. Yeah. Danny Hope said, "There's your one," because it was his first touchdown in a long time. So that was Brian Kelly's first game in Notre Dame. I was at that game last time I've been to that stadium. Don't plan to go to that stadium for a little. I'm not going this year. Don't plan to go there probably for a while. I mean, I never really feel like we were going to win it, even though we had our chances. Remember Max Charlot, first play of the season, interception hit him in the chest and he dropped it. That could have been a huge one. But I still thought coming out of the game, I thought we'd be a bowl team. It wasn't meant to be. I'll tell you one I was down was 2013, just because the way that game went against Cincinnati.
Yeah. I thought with that one, I thought about 15. I was like, that was just, I mean, it I was like, at that point, things were just so bad. Like, it was just so apathetic. I wasn't going to do 2023. I thought about 2021 because it was like,
Penn State.
Oregon State. 2022 was Penn State. I was wondering about those two, but I'd already done a Brom one. I'd done two Brom ones. I didn't want to do three Brom ones.
It should have been 2018 Northwestern.
I thought about that. Yeah, I thought about that one. I thought about 2020 just as like a, like, because it was a weird COVID year. Like, that can be.
A lot of good ones. A lot of good ones.
I probably would have put, if you had thrown 2018 out there, I would have said two. We had not seen a player like Rondale in a long time.
I remember coming out of that. I'm like, we should have won that game. We just lost.
Yeah, I was pretty. I was pretty pissed that we lost that game. Like, I was pretty mad, pretty upset.
Yeah.
But I thought we just saw the second coming of Dorian Bryant, is what I
did. Yeah. I mean, if it would have stayed healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, his 2018 is still unlike anything we've seen up
here. Yeah.
Our guy just can't stay healthy even to this day. So, yeah. So, all right, let's pick some games real quick. Week one. Let's see here. Big Ten. Got four games tomorrow night. Ohio at Rutgers. Rutgers is 15.5-point favorite.
Give me Rutgers.
Yeah, I like Rutgers in that one.
Yeah, same.
Buffalo at Minnesota. Minnesota's 17.5-point favorites. I like Minnesota in this one.
Yeah, same.
The boat ain't sinking tomorrow.
Miami, Ohio at Wisconsin, who's a 17.5-point favorite. Big year for Luke Fickell.
I think, yeah, Wisconsin. What do you think? I know you're talking about another podcast, Sam, but what do you guys think Fickell has to do to keep his job?
7 wins.
That's what I was thinking, 7.
We're going to have a spicy take here. I think Miami covers, though.
Okay.
Dude, what's the spread? Do we know?
17.5.
17.5. Why is ESPN not showing the...
I'll take Wisconsin to cover it, but that's a lot of points, though. But...
That is a lot, especially with them trying to reestablish what he had torn down. That's kind of why I'm thinking.
Webby, did you pick?
Yes, at Wisconsin.
Yeah. Okay. Nebraska at Cincinnati, but the game's played in Arrowhead Stadium, so it's going to be a Nebraska home game. Yeah. Nebraska's 6.5-point favorites. I think they cover that pretty easily. I think Cincinnati's garbage.
Yeah.
I'm definitely staying away from this game because, you know, Mahomes is going to be in that stadium for Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Getting Nebraska, great, though.
Western Michigan.
Actually, you could have Kelsey there too, because that's his alma mater, Cincinnati.
They probably will be.
They probably will be with it. You'll be watching that game then, Evan.
I know.
I hate the Chiefs. Western Michigan at Michigan State Friday night. They always play early. Michigan State's 20.5-point favorite.
Yeah. I don't know how good Michigan State's going to be this year. I feel like, I mean, I guess it depends on how good was it. Childs as our quarterback.
Yep.
He was pretty bad last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he really was.
I'm surprised Smith didn't go get a different quarterback and roll with Aiden Childs. So
he might have tried. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'd be surprised if Ryan Brown was our option to one when we tried to get out of the transfer portal. I mean, he could have been, same, but
yeah.
I still was shocked to see the CBS graphic that barely put Michigan State above us in all the FBS power rankings.
Yeah.
I will.
Tough schedule.
Yeah. I'll take Michigan State, though, in this.
I am as well. Western Illinois, the Leathernecks, at number 12, Illinois, who's a 45.5-point favorite.
Wasn't Western Illinois the team that last year won their first game in like 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really bad.
This game's on the cock.
I think Illinois wins by about 45.
I think Illinois wins, but I don't think they cover. That's a lot of points, especially if you pull your guys early.
I think they cover. Okay. I also have them in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, you do.
I think they're going to come out just like guns blazing, like because they're just amped up. They're just going to come out and just try and destroy everybody.
Yep.
Northwestern at Tulane. Tulane's a 6.5-point favorite.
Tulane covers and wins.
Give me the green wave, yeah.
Yep.
I'm taking the green wave. I don't think Northwestern's going to be very good.
Two private schools going at it.
Florida Atlantic at Maryland. Maryland's a 14.5-point favorite.
Give me Maryland.
Yep.
I don't know anyone on that roster anymore. Give me Maryland.
Game of the weekend. Fox, big new number 1, Texas at number 3, Ohio State, who's a 1.5-point favorite.
There is the whole statistic that was it a freshman QB or first year starter QB has never beaten a number 1 team. Like when they, I don't know if it was like the first game of the season or if they start playing number 1 team and they're a freshman QB, they've never won. So just because of that, I'm going to pick Texas.
I think Texas handles them.
Handles them.
I'll be the difference. I think Ohio State wins. I think. Defending national champs, I think they're going to be right in the mix again. And
yeah.
I think Arch is going to be good, but I think he struggles Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I think,
it's a lot of pressure, man. But
he's lived with it his entire life.
Oh, I know, but I don't think he's ever played an environment like this before. But
yeah. I know someone who's going to that game.
Yeah, I looked it up the other night on one of my other podcasts. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, tickets are expensive. But you can still get in the door for under 350. That shocked me. I thought it'd be way higher than that.
Yeah. So.
Old Dominion at number 20, IU. I want to throw up saying that.
Don't care.
23.5 point favorites, and I think they win and cover.
I think they manhandle them.
Move along.
Moving along, Nevada at number 2, Penn State, who's a 43.5 point favorite.
Covers.
I think Penn State puts up 66.
Yeah, they're good. The Franklin's got to get over the hump. I mean, he made the college football playoff last year, but it's time to.
Well, he made a deep run, too. He won some games.
He did. It's time to beat.
And he beat Ohio Boise State.
Yeah.
It's time to beat Ohio State.
Boise State's good, but it's not like he beat.
Yeah, should have been. I mean, if he would be Notre Dame, we wouldn't have this discussion, but he couldn't.
Right.
Montana State at number 7, Oregon. Oregon's a 27.5 point favorite.
I feel like I could just be just because I'm not paying attention, but I feel like no one's talking about Oregon.
Nobody's talking about Oregon.
Big Ten champs last year, and honestly, probably had they not gotten like just the way the format was like at the time, like they got screwed winning the Big Ten by getting that bye. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just think they're. It's Dan Lanning. He's an awesome coach. I think they're gonna roll.
Next.
University at Albany at Iowa, who's 38.5 point favorites.
Today's the day I learned Albany had a football team.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the question. Does Iowa score more than 35 points?
Their offense was okay last year. It was way better than it was with Ferris's son running the show. So, yeah, no. I think Iowa covers that.
I think they win 27-10.
Yep, I'm there with you.
Missouri State at USC is 35.5 point favorite.
USC, they got to come out of the gate hot for
Man, this looks like a bad decision for him leaving. Maybe he goes back to Oklahoma after this year if it doesn't work
out. He did on my game in my Purdue dynasty. After year 3, he went back.
USC, but it's crazy that him and Venables are probably on the hot seat.
And I think Jeff Brohm's at USC now on my game. I think there's only two or three coaches. There's only two or three coaches in the Big Ten still that are there in 2025. It's weird. New Mexico at number 14, Michigan, 34.5 point favorites. Moore is suspended this game, but it's not going to matter. Michigan's going to win and roll.
Game one of the Bryce Underwood era. It'll be interesting. Yeah, I think they're going to roll.
They're going to roll, but I want to ask, is it weird, like with the Big Ten TV contract, that this isn't the, like, Texas? Ohio State's not the NBC night game instead of.
So Fox gets first dibs, don't they? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Fox gets first dibs. They're just trying to push this big noon game down everybody's throats. It's
awful. Awful.
I would rather have seen Ohio State, Texas under the lights.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That would be awesome.
They played under the lights when we were growing up, and it was awesome. They played
Ohio State fans want that. That's the thing. So my rep who's going, he's an Ohio State fan. He's like, I hate big noon. Always playing at noon.
When's the last time we saw Ohio State Michigan under lights? Was it Troy Smith's senior year?
Yeah, that's only happened a couple times. Yeah. It doesn't happen very often.
It's just kind of like the Bucca game. It's always, this is the first night game, true night
Friday
game.
Nights, you know? Baby. Friday night.
I hope they keep it on Black Friday, to be honest. I'd love
that's
it.
Actually, yeah, they were like, that's pretty cool. Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish this again. I kind of wish they would rotate the CBS, Fox, NBC and give dibs.
That's logical, Lynch, and you're talking about big corporations here. So
that's true.
Correct. I'm talking about capitalism. I fully get it. So the fans are missing out. The Horseshoe at Night would have been a heck of a lot better than the Big House, but I think Bryce Underwood is going to put some stuff on tape, and then they're going – Venables is going to make him look silly the next week.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think Oklahoma beats him next week.
I believe it. Venables will scheme so much, and he won't know what to do.
Colorado State at Washington, who's a 21.5 point favorite. I'll take Washington to cover, I guess.
Yeah. Give me Jed Fish. Huskies.
And Utah is a 5.5 point favorite at UCLA.
This game I'm actually intrigued to watch.
I'm thinking I like Kyle Whittingham. So
it's a dream with Nico now at the helm.
Is he starting? I saw a report last week he wasn't going to start.
That was fake.
Yeah.
Was it? It was okay.
Because then it was like an on3 like fake account. And because he reached out to him about like stop spreading lies, and people were like making fun of him because he was crying on the internet. give me Utah.
Give me UCLA on this one.
That'll be a good one. Top 25 matchups tomorrow night. Number 25, Boise State, 5.5-point favorite at South Florida.
Give me the Broncos.
Taking the Broncos as well. Saturday, Syracuse at number 24, Tennessee, who's 13.5-point favorite.
Too much orange.
Yeah.
Give me the Vols, unfortunately. Right,
yep.
Yeah, the Vols.
Number 8, Alabama, 13.5-point favorites at Florida State.
Kind of a big game for both coaches. Like, I mean, yes, obviously, for Norvell, if you lose, it's like, well, you lost to Alabama, but still, it's like,
coming off a 2-10 season or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And if Alabama loses, I'm not sure. If
the boy better just put a for sale sign.
Say, yeah, he may not make it on the plane. But give me Bama.
I think Bama rolls.
Give me Florida State.
Oh, liking this Gus Malzahn as offense coordinator.
There, so they also Jim Miller. They're starting running backs out, and you're bringing in a new quarterback going into Tallahassee. No way.
They got talent on talent on talent.
I know they have talent on talent on talent, but Florida State does too.
Their fourth string running back would be.
Their second string running back is a former five star running back.
Of course he is.
I think his name's Richard Young, but I'm just no.
Dick Young.
Without Jim Miller, no. I'm going Knowles.
All right, I like the difference. Death Valley. I mean, both stadiums are called Death Valley. Number 9 LSU at number 4 Clemson. I like that we're not getting too many neutral games.
Neutral two games.
Clemson's 3.5-point favorite, by the way.
I'll pick Clemson by 2 touchdowns.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm picking LSU. I hate Kelly, but I don't know.
He sucks week one.
He sucks good teams early in the season.
That's true.
And I think Clemson's going to be – they might win it all this year. I think they're going to be really good.
Now with the how many this team – 12-team playoff, so it's just whoever they get.
They finally spent money in the portal this year, finally. So, Sunday, we got two good games. Virginia Tech at number 13, South Carolina, who's a 7.5-point favorite.
Beamer ball, South Carolina.
I was going to say, which Beamer?
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, give me the Gamecocks.
I'm going to take VT in the upset. I think Sellers is a good good quarterback, but something about the South Carolina team jumps out overrated to me. I don't know why. I don't know much about them, but, you know. And then Sunday night, 7:30, ABC, number 6, Notre Dame, 2.5-point favorites at number 10, Miami, Florida. This would be a good one.
I wanted to say Canes, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Give me to you.
Yeah. Give me
Notre Dame week one.
Give me Notre Dame. Yeah.
Notre Dame.
Even though both teams can afford a loss and still be okay.
Yeah.
With their schedule.
I don't know if Miami could. ACC. Yeah,
still win the ACC.
True. SMU got it.
So. All right. Let's get back to the Boilers and the Cardinals, unless you got something else, Lynch.
Yeah. I was going to say, did Georgia not play this weekend?
They play Marshall. I didn't even go over that game.
So. Okay. I was going to say, I feel like we're missing Georgia.
Wiped the floor with them. I mean, there was some other – I mean, if you want to, we could talk about who plays North Dakota there.
Going to go out on the limb and the hurdle. Plays
Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Plays Illinois State. Sorry.
Brock's back. I mean, Florida plays LIU. I know what LIU is. Who is that? LIU Sharks. Who are they?
Long Island University. I don't know.
Is it really Long Island? That's rough. I mean, they're FCS. So they beat Wagner last year in their last game. I don't know.
Give me the herd.
Back to the Boilers and the Cardinals. Boilers is 17.5-point favorite. score predictions before we do Bicey Bold predictions?
Okay, okay. I'm gonna stick with mine. We did on our podcast yesterday with Ball State of the Union. I think Purdue covers. I was the only one to pick us to cover. Spoiler alert. I'm gonna go 38-17. I think I said sloppy first half, maybe a little close for comfort for Purdue fans trying to break in the new regime. But I think just in the end, talent size kind of wins out and Purdue kind of runs away comfortably.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a sloppy first half, unfortunately. I would want to win this game 70 zip if we could.
That'd be awesome.
But there, I feel like there's going to be a lot of turnovers. There's not, I mean, cohesion can only, you can only develop so much cohesion when you have this many guys that are new. You know, I will say on the podcast that you referenced earlier with Schultz and Brian, I mean, you can only watch what you see individually. You don't know how these guys are going to gel. I'm hoping the trenches gel, though, on both sides of the ball. And Ball State will cover, but it'll be, Purdue win 28-14.
I think last time I said 27-14 or 27-13 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to up it a little bit. I'm going to say 27-10 Purdue win. So I got Ball State barely covering. Players of the game. Player of the game.
I'm going to go Coffee.
Okay.
I think Coffee's going to have 10-12 tackles.
Jesus. I'm going to go just easy first game of the season. Mockaby, he hits triple digits.
I'll go Michael Jackson. 2 TDs.
I like it.
Being different. Bowl/spicy prediction. I guess we'll throw them in there together this week.
I'll say Boilers force 3 turnovers.
I like it. I like it.
I think Ball State will lead in this game.
As long as 3 zip, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I said lead. I didn't say what.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did.
At the 13:50 mark. Maybe not that. That's fast scoring. Maybe like 10-minute mark in the first quarter or something.
Purdue successfully runs a fake punt.
I like it. Put it all on tape.
Yep.
I got a question for you guys. Burning question. Which Purdue transfer has the best season? The outgoing transfers between Thieneman, Claire, Helt. Which one has the best season?
I think Claire has the best season.
I think Claire, too. I think so, too. It's going to suck. It's going to suck.
Yeah, it is.
You think Thieneman?
Will help.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have opportunities for sacks because he's not going to be double teamed. He's not going to be the guy. He's going to be rotational in.
Yeah, the tough thing with Thieneman, I mean, he'll still get a ton of tackles, but I don't know who's on the opposite side of him. He's probably just getting a lot better. He's not targeted too much, but he also plays safety. That was really stupid. It'll be interesting to see him play closer to the line now instead of 80 yards back. So yeah,
you didn't want to say CJ Smith at MSU.
Hey, he's still in Memphis.
Oh, he's on Memphis? Was it not? Who went to Michigan State? Was it Green?
He went to.
One of them went to Michigan State. I thought it was one of our transfers.
It wasn't him. I thought Nyland went to Arizona. Somebody went to Arizona State and then didn't even last there. I don't know. We had so many dudes leave. I guess I can Google them real quick. Nyland Green. Oh, he is on Arizona State. I thought he left there. I don't know who's at Michigan State.
I'll have to look it up.
Any other thoughts before we pay some bills and get out of here for week 1?
Thank God it's back. Thank God football's back.
Yes.
Any concerns that if we lose, what will happen to this fan base?
Don't want to talk about it.
Follow that for next week if we have to.
Yep.
I'll let you guys take care of that if we lose.
Tanner will officially not come back.
Yeah. This might be my last podcast. See you basketball season.
There we go.
I'm telling you, Ross Abe would be a great parking lot for Mackey.
Would you stop? Would you stop?
Get outdoor facility.
God.
Let's face
I don't even know what sound you want to say.
Let's just pay some bills.
All right, let's do that. One of our great sponsors this year, like they have been the last few seasons, is Mad Mushroom. Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, who's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette and known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever I visit, Aaron visits, Evan visits, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which you can only get this pizza for a couple more days. You guys are going to have to find the pizza of the month for September. Lynch, tell them what we got.
Yeah, it's the Chicken Caprese, only available, as Tanner said, for a few more days. This is their fresh, flavorful twist on your favorite Italian dish. It's a blended tomato sauce, chicken, chopped garlic, fresh spinach, grated Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, fresh mozzarella perinis, finished with basil and balsamic glazed drizzle. So when you're in town this week, let them know the Boiler Breakdown scent. Use that code online, and you will not be disappointed. Mad Mush, feed your head.
Yes, use code BREAK5, all caps, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. And like Lynch said, you can't go wrong whether you're in the mood for pizza, you're in the mood for cheese sticks, you're in the mood for wings, one of their sandwiches, some beer, maybe all the above. Discount code BREAK5, online at madmushroom.com. Feed your head. And they're not only our only great sponsor, we got another one on board this year yet again, and that is this shop. Webby, what's going on over there at the shop?
Yeah, happy to have the shop back once again this year. They're excited to be back with us. We're excited to have them back. They've been making t-shirts since 2011, started out in the garage. Now they've got 3 retail locations around the Indianapolis area. You got one downtown, you got one in Broadway, you got one in Carmel. So if you're in the Indianapolis area, you got one close by to you. They've been making, you know, hometown apparel for a long time for a lot of the in-state schools, including Ball State. So if you got a Ball State friend, you know, check out, they got some pretty cool stuff there. Anything from shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, you know, drinkware, stickers, anything. I mean, even all things, you know, pop culture. Tanner's, if you're watching it, he's got the Purdue section up. They just released a new Purdue, kind of their fall football line for Purdue. Awesome shirts and awesome classic retro gear. If you're not shopping in person, you're shopping online, make sure you use promo code BREAKDOWN. You get free shipping on your entire order.
I'm overdue
for just remind me, I need to buy that BrainSmith shirt. I was holding out just for, in case when it released, just had to be sure. Because I was
in like this 2004 Gene Pool throwback that's online only. So yep. Take advantage of our discount code with that one. There's a couple online only shirts.
And that basketball, here. I forgot I have that basketball script soft knit hoodie because it's been 800 degrees in central Indiana for the last month and a half, except for this week. That thing is so freaking comfortable.
Trying to check if they still have the hat I'm wearing right now. They got similar ones. They got the one in gold, but not the one in white, it doesn't look like. Got some nice drinkware, like Webby said. All kinds of stuff. Got some flags.
Flags, yeah.
Stickers,
yep.
All a bunch of stuff. And like Evan also said, they got other colleges as well. They got racing. If you're a big racing fan, they got pro sports on here as well. Some NIL deals. All kinds of stuff. So can't go wrong with anything
you get. Indiana. All things Indiana.
Yep. So, all right, fellas. Any closing thoughts?
I said earlier, but yeah, just thank God football's back. It's exciting to watch some games, hopefully in a better mood on Saturday afternoon. Actually, that's the one thing about college football is if Purdue sucks, it just ruins my appetite to watch any of the college football because I'm just jealous everybody else is having fun while I'm just in misery. So hopefully that changes this year.
I would have to say the same, but I'm going to have a long drive home if that's the case.
Yeah. It's on you. It's on your shoulders. You're the only member of the Boiler Breakdown podcast that's going to be there in person. So we're counting on you.
There might be a can of pyramid can of beers if that's the case.
Boiler up and hammer down, John. Thanks for joining us this week. Appreciate it. All right, fellas. Well, let's get off the hot start of the Odom era. Let's boil it up, hammer down, beat the Cardinals.
Boiler up.
Boiler up.